evening, and welcome to the Oklahoma Today podcast, once again bringing you the very best of Oklahoma. This week we've gathered our editorial team, Editor-in-Chief Nathan Gunner, Managing Editor Carly Ibarra,
hello,
Photo Editor Megan Rossman,
hi,
and your humble web editor Greg Elwell.
There's nothing humble about you.
There's really only one reason all these disparate and antisocial personalities would ever agree to be in one room, and that's to talk about food. Our subscribers already know, but this month we dropped our annual food issue, including one of our most loved features, Food Worth the Drive. So I just thought we would talk about food, guys. Anybody want
to? Yes. I have many food things to say.
I think it's fair to, like, just for listeners who may not have seen it yet, who may not have seen this story ever.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what Food Worth the Drive is. It started in 2014. And it was our kind of answer to the, like, everyone goes to Mears, everyone goes to Aishin's kind of thing. You know, like, those are, like, oh, it's time for an Aishin's trip. Everybody load up and let's have a road trip. But it's like there's a zillion restaurants around that are so road trip worthy and so, like, and going is half the fun. But, you know, I don't know. Like, there's nothing against Mears or Aishin's. Like, really, like, you know, like, every Oklahoman has been to both of those places.
But we wanted to highlight the places that maybe are not as well known yet, but we think they're worth the drive. We think it's worth it to, and that's one thing I will say that when we first started on this, when I was a freelancer in those early days, but it really was, the directive was, if this is not good enough for someone to drive to, tell us, and we're not going to feature that restaurant.
Yeah.
You know?
I think every year there are at least two places probably that we end up dropping because either the person goes there and didn't have a good experience or, you know, we see negative reviews online or something like that.
Yeah.
They don't make the cut.
Yeah. Because we, you know, and that's the thing. I think that's the thing for listeners.
We do eat at all of
these. I was going to say, what I was going to say is, you know, for listeners to know that someone goes to every single one of these restaurants, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Greg.
On my assignments this year, I went to a place, and I won't say where it is.
Yeah, don't.
But they were serving Kraft mac and cheese as part of an entree.
I love Kraft mac and cheese, but it's not worth a drive beyond the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can make it yourself and it can be comparable, then it's probably not worth the drive.
And this year was kind of a new one. Obviously, COVID changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the other thing we did was we decided to really keep the reviews in-house rather than going to a lot of freelancers because we wanted a little more room to focus on some of these restaurants, give them a bigger write-up. But also we were trying to address some, if you have 15 people all writing about restaurants, sometimes you're going to find the same phrases coming up because they're all writing one restaurant story. Whereas if it's a smaller group and we're writing multiple ones, we can be a little more cognizant of the words and phrases that are going to be appearing throughout the other reviews so it doesn't become so repetitive. And we made some decisions like, you know, we don't want to talk about, oh, the food's fresh. Well, if the food isn't fresh, are we really going to be sending people to that place anyway?
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, they do all their own cooking. Well, it's a restaurant, right? So we editorially wanted to focus more on what these places were doing that was unique, that was different, and that would inspire people to get in the car and drive an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to go try this food.
Yeah.
And we just like doing it.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot of fun.
Funnest part of our jobs is going out and trying new restaurants and visiting towns that we've never been to before.
And it's a lot of fun. I always get really excited when we have a Food Worth the Drive and it's like in a town that it's like, oh my gosh, we haven't done anything on this town and I don't even know it. You know, like towns that we don't get to, you know, get to do stuff a lot. So I know that, like, this one especially for me, I was so excited because the places that I went, I know, were some of the best places I've been. This is the seventh year we've done Food Worth the Drive, and I think maybe this time was my best culinary experience. But I want to know some of the places you guys went that you really loved and are planning to go back to.
So I went to Angel's Diner in McAllister, And I have in my notes here, ham and beans with an exclamation mark. And I know that that sounds like a weird thing to order, especially for a vegetarian. Sorry, animals. But I figured if they have good ham and beans, then you can kind of assume that most of the other stuff on their menu is going to be good because it's such a simple thing. And let me tell you, that was the best ham and beans that I have ever had in my life.
But those simple, basic dishes are the reason that they set a place apart is because if they have done something special with them, if they have put in the time and the effort to make something that seems simple really great, then you know they're going to put that kind of effort into everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the things I've learned in this job, actually, is like if you want to know how good a restaurant is, order something very basic. Mm-hmm. Order something that they have that you can get a lot of different places, because it's the same rule as with anything. Like, if you can't get the basics down, you're never going to be able to do the advanced stuff. Mm-hmm. You have to know what the rules are in order to be able to break them.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time talking with the servers because I want to know not just what other people are ordering, but what they recommend. What is someone who spends all their time in that restaurant going to order? Mm-hmm. A lot of times chefs will have a favorite dish. This was out of state years ago, but I went to a restaurant and I think it was ham and beans was what was on the menu. And I was like, oh, that seems weird. And I asked the waiter, and he goes, oh, this is the dish that got our chef James Beard Award. And it was the beans were a cassoulet, which is like a French bean stew. And the ham was not actually ham. It was like duck that had been treated like ham. A bunch of other stuff with it too, and just an amazing.
Calling it ham and beans might have been underselling it just a little bit.
Yeah, okay. A restaurant locally that is now gone, Deep Fork Grill.
Oh, I love that place.
Deep Fork had this one item on the menu, and it just said it was cheese ravioli, and I every time I was like, who is just ordering cheese ravioli? Well, I'll tell you, it was me too. It was cheese ravioli in a brown butter sauce covered in duck confit. Mm-hmm. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was a good dish.
And it was not, I mean, but it wasn't shouting out, hey, you've got to try me. There's lots of stuff like that. And that's part of the fun.
If the ghost of Deep Fork Grill is listening, we miss you.
Yes.
Find a way to be reincarnated.
Chicken brochettes.
God, it was such a good restaurant. Megan, where did you go this time? What did you like?
Well, I went to Tamashii, which I have already been to a million times, and so I knew that I liked it. One of my favorite things to get at Tamashii, obviously, Tamashii is a restaurant in Midtown.
It's a ramen house.
Yeah.
And they have one in Edmond as well.
Yep.
Yes, and there is one in Edmond, and obviously they have all sorts of very good ramen, but my favorite thing to get is chashudon, which is mm-hmm. braised pork belly on rice, or you can get it on steamed rice or fried rice, and then it has like green onions and a mix of sauces that their owner would not tell me.
It's like a barbecue and mayonnaise.
It's just about the best thing I've ever taken. I ordered it for dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm hungry, I want some chash.
It's very
so
rich.
Good. It's so good.
It's very good, yeah. And I like to get a side of pickled ginger to put on it.
Cut some of that richness with a little bit of.
And there are all sorts of different versions you can get of it. You can get it with like fried chicken and on fried rice. I like it just on the steamed rice because I feel like it just gets a little overwhelming when you start putting a lot of other stuff on it.
The fried rice adds a richness that does not need to be added to me. Like, it's an extra,
I like the fried rice, but I like them separately.
They're garlic fried rice, and especially if you're eating at the restaurant, it's such a great presentation because they bring the sizzling rice and green onions to the table in a cast iron skillet, and then pour in the eggs, and then they start to they're basically making fried rice table side.
Mm-hmm. The bottom with the crispy bits, it's the best.
I'm not kidding. I cannot get enough chashudon. I would eat it every meal for the rest of my life and be perfectly happy.
It is, I think, one of the very best things to eat in Oklahoma City.
Agree. I think that's, I think, you know, I don't usually use this phrase because it changes all the time, but that is definitely right now that's my favorite restaurant in Oklahoma City is, mm-hmm. is Tamashii.
And yeah. they have vegetarian yeah. ramen that is delicious. Yeah. It doesn't mm-hmm. taste like you're missing out on anything. Yeah. So.
Even it's yeah. even worth, it would be worth a long drive, but it's definitely worth the short one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that place.
And I know that I don't think you guys maybe appreciate this one as much as I do from Tamashii, but they do a Japanese curry, which is a milder curry than your Indian and Pakistani curries. This one, they use fried chicken bites tossed in this really gorgeously spiced brown sauce over rice, and it is just it is ultimate comfort food for me. Like, it is so, yeah, I can't get enough of that.
I'm sure I would like it. It's just very hard for me to order anything that isn't Chashidon.
Same. I know. I feel like that menu is like, full of delights, but I got stopped on Chashidon, and I'm not sure when I'm going to get off my center with that dish. I know one of the places that I really loved that I got to go this time was Latte Dot Coffee House in Tishomingo, which we've written about before in the magazine. But the owner, Christy Robnett, she's just the coolest lady, man. Like, she was the president of the Johnston County Chamber of Commerce, and like, her calling in life, as much as it is to own this, she's a business owner, you know, more than a restaurateur, although her restaurant is great. Like, the food is amazing, the coffee is fantastic, the environment is great. I love her because she's very into, as a businesswoman, she's into like nurturing people who want to start businesses, you know, and she's been a big champion, not just of her own business, but of all of Tishomingo and all the businesses that have opened down there on Main Street and with Old Red, with Blake Shelton's Old Red, where the food is also excellent, by the way. Yeah. I'll admit I had my doubts when I went in to write that story a few years ago about
chili.
Old Red. Good everything that I had.
Yeah.
But I love Christy because she believes in Tishomingo. She's a homer. You know, she loves her town and she wants to see all the businesses there succeed. And I really love that about her. She's got this really beautiful enthusiasm that is just infectious. And it does not hurt that the food at her place is just so good. I don't know why this made such a difference, and it's such a stupid thing, but when I went there to write this story this time, you know, she and I have talked a zillion times, but when I went there, I got the club sandwich, because I love a club sandwich.
Yes.
Club sandwich is just one of life's
finer
right
things.
Done right. Exactly. Done
hard
well.
To beat.
And here's what they did, and it blew my mind, and it's so simple. They put butter on the bread. And I don't know why. Maybe it was just a specific kind of butter. It could have been spray parquet, for all I know, but there was something about that one little touch that made that seriously one of the best sandwiches I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah.
And it was the freaking butter.
I
don't know why that made the... I'm sure there were lots of other things that made the difference. That's the one I noticed. But man, that place is good. And I love... There's a great story in the issue about, you know, when COVID hit and she had to close, there was this group of old men who were looking for... Their normal go-have-coffee place had shut down. And so she literally like bought a coffee machine from Walmart, like a coffee maker, gave him a key to her place and was like, let yourselves in, make a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
If you like, you know, their routine had been disrupted and they were, you know, they weren't out seeing each other. They weren't spreading anything.
Yeah.
You know, they just wanted to meet every morning. And apparently they know, these guys know all the gossip in Tishomingo. And it's very important that they have their daily gossip sessions morning and afternoon.
My grandfather used to call it the Spit and Whittle Club.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds like a novel with a movie starring, I don't know, Mary-Kate Masterson.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones now.
Yes.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I was blown away by Gray Sweater, which it's sort of unfair, you know. It was probably one of the higher end places that were on the list this year, but I firmly believe that food is better if the people who are cooking it are enjoying themselves, and and sitting at the bar at Gray Sweater, you could see Chef Andrew Black literally dancing. I mean, just like it in place, just sort of moving his shoulders, moving his hips, having the best time of his life cooking that food. And that joy comes through in every bite. I mean, there's also a sense of playfulness. And there are a few places around town and across the state that you really get the sense that they've gotten to the point where they have mastered the food so well that now they can start really having fun with it. One of the chef at Patrono one time made a carrot and spinach risotto with rabbit legs. Ooh, and it was like it was springtime, and you were eating rabbit and also eating what the rabbit eats, like that sort of stuff. And that stuff really comes through. You see that at Gray Sweater, where I don't know anywhere else on earth that I would go and be blown away by a braised turnip. I don't know where else I would be ecstatic to get an ice cream cone full of cauliflower.
Right. Which sounds hilarious. Like, that sounds like a joke.
It does. Mm-hmm. And then you eat it and you're like, no, this is like, it's not only is it good, but your brain is just trying to wrap itself around everything that it's tasting, mm-hmm. the textures, the form factor even.
Yeah.
And for me, it's really great to see. I feel like this is a culmination for Chef Black because, he was the original head chef at Vast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people expected Vast to be a steakhouse, and he wanted it to be a high-end restaurant where he could do these things.
Yeah.
And you know, he's had other ventures since then, Meatball House in Norman, and then, most recently he opened up
Lavaguette. Was it a meatball? Was it like a meatball place? Did they just serve meatballs?
Yeah, it was a Campus Corner, I believe.
Oh, wow. It no longer exists?
It does not.
Unfortunately.
So, wow, that's too bad, because that sounds...
And I think that's what's interesting, too, about Food Worth the Drive as a whole, is we have places like that where the food is experimental, the price point is pretty high,
mm-hmm.
But then we also have...
Ham and beans,
you know, $1.99.
Cheeky Burger.
Yeah, that's another place you went, Newkirk, yeah.
And really, I love seeing somebody take burgers that seriously, and there are, I don't know about you guys, I'm always being told, oh, this place has a really great burger, oh, that place has a really great burger, and it does not always measure up. It doesn't stack up to what I think is a great burger. And maybe people have different reasons for loving food in different places. When I go in to some place I've never been and I am meeting people I've never met before and I'm eating this food and I don't have any connection to it or any mm-hmm. preconceived notions, it it really hits you like, oh, this is a great burger. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to eat. I want to eat the food that someone is taking seriously even when people aren't paying attention.
Totally. Yeah, totally. One of the other, I'm just sitting here flipping through the story, actually, and one of the other places that I noticed that we had was, I don't even remember who wrote this, was Fat Tabs.
Oh, that was Kashia.
That was Kashia. Oh, yeah. Man, that guy can cook. I swear to God. Like, we've had him in this magazine so many times because he's had so many different restaurants down in the Hochatown on the Idabel area. I'm excited. I haven't tried that one yet. I haven't been to Fat Tabs, his restaurant, the Moon Tower in Hochatown, was
the deviled
phenomenal.
Eggs that had like a little piece of like
candied
bacon
jalapeno
candied jalapeno. That's what it was. I think it had bacon on it too.
It did. It had a little piece of bacon and a candied jalapeno.
Oh my god, deviled eggs! Like you would think, like I'm not gonna drive 3.5 hours for deviled eggs. But once you try theirs, you will drive as far as
you
have to.
Oh, I would have. Absolutely. And you know what's fun about? I took some friends to the Moon Tower before it closed, and it was super busy. And, you know, like, the kitchen was open. You could see Tab back there, but it was just insane in there. Like, mm-hmm. it was completely packed. We were lucky to get a table. And so we just had our meal and left or whatever, and I said something on Instagram about it, and he was like, you should have come back and said hi. And I was like, come on, man.
You
like,
were busy.
Yeah, but that's what I love about him is, like, I really should have gone back and said hi. Like, he mm-hmm. would have loved that, and, like, anybody could just go up and be like, hey, Tab, what's up? And he'll sit there and talk to you. I don't know. And he's been Emeril's sous chef. He mm-hmm. was a Chopped champion. He has no reason. He could be this, like, kind of float up here, you know, look down at everybody from his high perch as an excellent chef kind of guy, or cook. He didn't even call himself chef. He says he's a cook. Kind of guy, and he just doesn't. I love people like that. You know, it's so much fun.
This new restaurant, for people who don't know, is in Idabel.
It's in Idabel, yeah.
I don't know if anyone already said that, but...
Fat Tabs Barbecue, PHAT, and it's that's what I would say of the places on here that I haven't tried yet. That's probably the top
list.
Yeah,
I definitely would be interested in that barbecue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we'll have to take us a little
field
trip. I was going to say, Megan, I have also eaten at the other place you covered, and we are all obsessed with it.
Oh, the ice cream place.
Big Dipper.
Yeah.
Big Dipper in Tulsa. Oh, man.
That is probably the best ice cream I've ever had.
Oh. Lavender honeycomb. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
That is their most popular flavor, too.
It's like springtime in a freaking cup. It's so good.
I was impressed that their cookies and cream ice cream, which it is like a chocolate base ice cream, but it's made chocolate by pulverized Oreos, which they make the Oreos in house, and they crush so many Oreos and put them in just a ordinary like vanilla ice cream that it becomes a chocolate ice cream.
Oh, wow.
And then they put larger chunks of Oreo into that.
It doesn't sound like quite enough Oreo for me.
I'll tell you one thing though, eating that and then driving back to Oklahoma City from Tulsa is a little bit difficult, worth it.
I love Tulsa and it's always worth it because they have so much good food in Tulsa. But yeah, that full bellied drive down the turnpike in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And why, this isn't about food worth the drive, but why is the drive to Tulsa one-third the length
of the drive back from Tulsa?
Why is that? I think it's some kind of Bermuda Triangle thing we have going on.
Well, part of it might be because your belly is so full, just feels a lot longer.
Gosh, worth it.
That's probably the best ice cream. When I talked to...
And that's in Mother Road Market, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It is. I think I told her, the owner, probably like 6 times that I was obsessed with her ice cream.
Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of like really interesting flavors. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm like, this is going to be weird. It's always good. Like all of their experimental flavors are good.
Yeah.
But it is really hard to beat just their original like dark chocolate cookies and cream.
No, because anytime I go somewhere for ice cream and I don't get chocolate, I always wish that I did. Mm-hmm.
That's so much part of this whole thing, too. And Greg, you kind of brought this up when you're talking about gray sweater. Is like, there are certain people who it's like, if you're cooking it, I'll do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'll try anything this person. Mm-hmm. Tab Singleton's the same way. Mm-hmm. Andrew Black. What's her name from Big Dipper? I don't know her name.
Sammy Cooper.
Anything these people put in front of me, I will eat. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun getting to know those folks through this, you know, and like figuring out what they're up to next. Because, yeah, it's always exciting to see what they're going to dream
up. I'm looking forward to next year.
We
got to
start making the list.
Yeah,
seriously.
I'm already thinking about
listeners,
about
if
some
you've
places.
Got a restaurant that you absolutely love, send it to us because we might end up on the list.
OKTpod@travelok.com. Please send us more restaurant suggestions wherever.
We can't drive. We try to get out in the state as much as possible, but we still can't go to every corner of every small town.
Okay, let's talk for a second about, one, every corner of the state, two, full-bellied drives home that you're not sure you're going to survive, and three, probably the place that I will absolutely be back to in this story, which is Ollie's Juke Joint and Cafe in Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
guys.
I'm curious about
holy cow.
Reading that story. Oof.
Looking at the picture.
Oh, my gosh.
I was
so good.
I saw collard greens, so I was immediately interested.
Yeah.
What is this, mac and cheese? Is that what that is? With bacon on it and green onions?
Where are you looking? It is. And that's amazing. That is the... Catfish, what's it called? Catfish, I want to say Sally Mae, but that's who services my student loans. Catfish, I'm looking in the story, I didn't come prepared. Catfish something Mae, I can't find it. Catfish Susie Mae, there it is. It's blackened catfish filet with like this rich, creamy crawfish sauce over all the top, bed of rice. Doesn't have a bed of rice in this. Oh no, that's there. That is one of the most amazing things I've ever tasted, as are the Gator Bait appetizer.
Mm.
4 jalapeno peppers, big ones, stuffed with boudin, deep fried, and then she's got this sauce called Jezebel sauce and comeback sauce that is all over. I'm not kidding. So I ordered that thinking that's going to be amazing. Oh, no, I didn't. They were like, you want to try it? I was like, yes, I want to try it. They brought it to me. I ate it. And then they brought me the catfish Susie Mae, which I had not asked for. And I was like, I thought the jalapenos were an entree. And they were like, no, that's an appetizer. I was like, okay, but I am full. I cannot eat another bite.
That's so, no excuse, Nathan.
It wasn't. I sat there and ate the catfish. Yeah, I sat there and ate the catfish.
Maybe bring a friend.
Mm-hmm. I should have. I should have had one of you guys. I should have had all of you guys go with me, actually, for this place. It was so much fun. But they open at 5 p.m. I got there at 5 p.m. from Kingston to my house. I was not 100% sure I was going to be able to stay awake for that drive. Going back. So, like, take a stop for some coffee after you eat there. Uh-huh. But it's worth it. It's so good. And the lady that that's the chef there, her name is Boo. The guy that owns it, they work together. And
I'm sorry, wait, what town? Oh, Kingston. Okay.
They work together at the Peanut Factory in Medill, and it closed down in I think 2016. And he was like, well, you're, and they, you know, they'd been friends for like 20 years, and they have this hilarious friendship. Like, what it reminded me of, if you ever saw it, was Mrs. Landingham and Jed Bartlett on The West Wing. Remember, or, you know, like, he would have the, like, hilarious, it's kind of like this hilarious, like, ribbing each other sort of relationship. Like, and anyway, he had loved her cooking for like 20 years. They'd worked together, and he was like, I'm building you a restaurant. And he literally built her a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, he built it. And it's a cool space, like, there's tables that just are around the trunks of trees that are then growing through the ceiling. Mm-hmm.
And Kingston is right by Lake Texoma,
it's
right?
It's right down there by Lake Texoma. Yeah. I think this place is like 500 feet from the Red River. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, the pictures that I saw had like a real sort of...
Oh, it's shacky. Like it's corrugated aluminum or corrugated tin. And it's just the coolest place. There's all kind of like old vintagey signs and stuff all over the outside. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, but
it
man, that food.
It had a bayou sort of look to
very
it.
Very Cajun. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very Cajun. Oh my gosh, but you guys, I could not get enough of that food. I could have sat there and eaten until I died and been very happy.
I do love anything that resembles a Boudin ball.
Yeah, we'll have to go back. Cause,
unless it's a Hush Puppy.
But that's definitely a place. I mean, I was like calling people. I was calling my parents. I was calling my brother. I was calling everybody on the way. I'd be like, we got to go to this place. So that was my highlight for this year was Ollie's.
Yeah. I think mine was the Hungry Man Porterhouse from Beach House, which again, I'm sorry, I'm a terrible vegetarian. But, you know, if it's for work.
Ham and beans.
I know.
Yeah.
If it's for
work.
You're
sort of just a meat-eating vegetarian. Yeah.
But it was 16 ounces, and it was so tender that I was able to cut it with like a dull knife. And then I think, so I ate that.
This is in Bristow, right?
In Bristow, yeah. Philip ate a little bit of it, but he also got an entree. And then the next day, we made steak and eggs for breakfast, and then we both had enough steak for us. So I got three and a half meals out of that 16-ounce porterhouse, and every one of them was amazing. Simplest preparation you can think. I mean, just like salt and pepper, you know, seared and everything. But oh my gosh, it's just so tender, and it just tasted like how you want meat to taste. Just very clean.
Hmm.
And, oh, so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This gives me a really good idea, actually, of something we should do is we should go find some of these places with these great dishes and ask the chefs who created them, like, all right, let's say I've got leftovers. What do I do with them the next day?
Yeah.
That would be really fun. Yeah. Let's do that. There's so much good food in this story. It's like you could just keep turning and turning. It's like 16 pages long.
And there's so much good food not even in the story. I didn't get a chance to talk about the chicken salad sandwich in my Da Vinci Coffee House write-up. Da Vinci is in Enid. They have four locations there. Best chicken salad sandwich I think I've ever had. It was like the perfect balance of like creamy, but not like too much sauce. It was on a croissant that was like firm, but it was still kind of soft. And like, it was just so, so good. And like, we can't even... We had bigger write-ups this time, and we still cannot fit all of the good stuff that we find at these places.
It's true. So. Yeah, it's very true. And I love doing, like, a little... Each one of these stories has a little fact or a little, like, hey, pro tip. You know, it's not on the menu, but...
Did you know?
Yeah, and they're so much fun. Like, I always like reading those, you know? Like, it's everything from, like, this place has jazz on Thursdays to, like, listen, it's not on the menu... But you need to order the such and such with the thing and the pom-pom-pom. Oh, yes, please, more of that. And we'd love to have some. And then would you like the little fon-fi-fon? And yes, we would like some of that as well. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Good bowl of fon-fi-fon is not to be sniffed at.
I highly recommend, if you have not yet picked up this issue, that you go out and get it and keep it in your car. That's one thing that we always really love to hear from people is that our food issue, people keep it in their car so that whenever they're out in the state, they remember to go to that place that they read about and try it out. And please do. If you go to these places, let us know. Tell us.
Send us a photo.
Tag us on Instagram. We would love it.
Are we going to do a podcast about pizza?
Because I was actually about to bring this up because I think that we need to do this. I just to get into the rest of the issue just a little bit, I want to talk to Greg and Carly both about the other things that you wrote this time. So, Greg, you went on the hunt for not really the best pizza in Oklahoma, because that's too specific of a nail.
Yeah.
Everyone's so different on their pizza preferences. Like, you just wanted to experience the range of Oklahoma pizza.
I wanted to try...
in all its glory.
Yes, there are... that was one of the funniest stories. I don't even know if it made it in here. This was... I will say, this pizza story was... kind of like Carly was saying about the chicken salad, but writ large, there were so many stories that I could not fit into this piece because we just didn't have the room. But, you know, finding out that Empire Slice House almost didn't exist because they wanted to be a pierogi restaurant. you know, talking to Kathy at Joe's Famous Pizza in Purcell and finding out that that Joe's was the only pizza place there for years, and now they have like three other fast food pizza places in town, and it hasn't affected their business at all because the people in Purcell are like, you know, we're coming to Joe's because we want Joe's pizza, and people still drive to Purcell to get it because you know what you don't do is you don't drive to another town to go to their Pizza Hut. Mm-hmm. You know,
right? No, yeah. What would be the point of that? You know, what's funny about that? Joe's also has a location in Edmond, and after my husband read this, he was like, "Oh, every time we have pizza at the office, that's where we get from is Joe's
so
in Edmond." Yeah,
they have the most. It's almost like a shortbread crust in some ways. It's just so buttery. Yeah, every place had something different. One other thing that I was super excited to learn about was how the Hideaway in Stillwater and Hideaway Pizza, which is actually another company that was started by former The Hideaway employees with the blessing of The Hideaway founder Richard Dermer, how they're different. And Richard Dermer's granddaughter is now the manager at The Hideaway, but worked for years for Hideaway Pizza. Mm-hmm. And hearing from her about some of the differences and why people will still, even if there's a Hideaway in your town, why people will still drive to Stillwater to experience the original.
The original's different. Having had both.
It is.
They're both great in their own ways, but the original, there's just something really special.
No shame on either of them, but
I love that Dermer's pizza too. Oh, the barbecue with the chicken. Oh,
see now I've always I like the other Dermer's, which is the Dermer's Hideaway special.
Okay,
which is where every slice is a different topping.
Thing,
that's what I really would like to try there.
It is. It's so nice. And you know what's weird is I don't think I would ever order a pizza that just has green onions on it. But a slice with just green onions is great. Oh, man, it's so good. Yeah. I wouldn't want a whole pizza like that, but that one slice is so good.
Simplicity is a beautiful thing. That's like when I go to Brahms, I'm like, I just want meat and cheese and bun, and that's all I want.
Yeah.
And that's the way to have a Brahms. Anyway.
And that's how Nate orders his Sundays.
Speaking of speaking of burgers, Carly, you wrote about vegetarian, eating vegetarian at restaurants. It's something that, you know, this is an interesting thing because we've watched you kind of navigate the quasi-vegetarian waters a little bit. And in a job where you do have to eat at a lot of restaurants, finding out, you know, for people who want to try that or, you know, are just looking to be a little bit healthier in the new year. LOL, we just released Food Issue. Happy New Year! you know, I just found it interesting how... You know, I think people would think like, oh, well, it's not a vegetarian restaurant, so what can I get? But that's so not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, some places certainly do have their own designated vegetarian menus, like Sunnyside, for instance. But then other places, you know, vegetarian is just kind of a part, like, it's not that they're vegetarian, it's just that, I don't know, their food just kind of happens to be, like, Laffa does not go out of its way to be vegetarian.
Laffa Middle Eastern in Tulsa, so good.
Yeah, but they have so many great options. And then, what are some of the other places that I included in here?
Solatai.
Yeah, and there's...
Solatai, one of our favorite Thai places here in Oklahoma
which
City.
Which, that one is great because almost every dish can be made vegetarian with some the pretty simple substitutions.
Yeah.
Or... You know, and then, you know, and there's not, if one of the things that I loved about doing this research for the story is that I had always, before I became a vegetarian, I always kind of thought of it like, as like, okay, you can have salads and you can have sides of vegetables, and that is all you can have.
You can have air.
Yes, exactly. But, like, people are getting so creative with all of these different vegetarian options now. Like, there's this Buddha bowl at Cafe Yum in Tulsa, which, yeah, technically it is a salad, but it has so much stuff in it. It has vegetables and quinoa and beans and chickpeas and champagne vinaigrette, and they also, at that same place, they offer ice cream, and they make their own cones and everything. Mm. And then, you know, you can, and then you can go to places like Sunnyside and you can get an, you know, a chorizo eggs Benedict with
vegetarian,
vegetarian on top of it.
That's
so
amazing.
It's just like, it's not, we're not limited like people used to be 20, 30 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, sure. I feel like even when I was, like, in college and stuff and had friends who were vegetarian, they'd be like, I'll just have the side of broccoli, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was always something kind of, like, sad and terrible because it was just, like, well, we're at a restaurant and there's nothing here I can eat. Yeah.
Well, and restaurants are, like, I think people are getting, like, you know, you'll go to some places and you can tell they're not big on substitutions, but most places, if you tell them, like, hey, you know, I'm trying to eat more vegetarian. Is there anything that you can offer, like, that you could do a little bit differently or whatever? And most of the time, they will, they'll bend over backwards to help you find something that kind of fits your needs and everything.
So Catholics, you don't just have to go to a fish fry on Fridays now. You can pick up our issue and find out all kind of places to go.
And there's places, there, it's not just Oklahoma City and Tulsa. I think
that's
one of the things that a lot of people think is, like, I mean, there's a place called Farmhouse Fresh. It's in Enid. And I love Enid, but, you know, you don't think of Enid necessarily as being a hub of vegetarian food, but that place is amazing. And so it's like, no matter where you are in the state, you're within maybe an hour or so of really good vegetarian food.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. I had so much fun with this issue. I feel like we always have the most fun with the food issue. The food issue and the animal issue.
We're also, like, we only put out one food issue a year, but we are food obsessed year round.
That's true.
Like, I don't know how many conversations during deadline that we have about, picking our favorite this or that.
Just, that is a very fair point. One of my other things that I really loved, because I think it might be, it's definitely one of the most delicious towns in Oklahoma, is Pawhuska. I mean, you can just go to Pawhuska and eat all day long.
What is, remind me, what is in Pawhuska?
All the Pioneer Woman stuff. There was Cowboy Nutrition is a place. They have like cool, like, tasty, sweet things.
Smoothies and tea and stuff like that.
Grill 125, great burgers, kind of a cafe type grilled, small town grill type place. Dollhouse Road Brewing. Is a great little brewery.
Beer and burgers and
all kinds of stuff like that. So there's a bunch. Yeah.
Brad's is on my barbecue.
There used to be a place there. It's closed now. It's actually a really funny story about why it's closed. It's called Prairie Dog. And it was a hot dog restaurant, and they were really, really good. And the lady, after all the Pioneer Woman stuff blew up, she was like, yeah, I didn't get into it for this. Because it's literally across the street from where the Pioneer Woman was.
Yeah.
And so, like, she said, I have a line of husbands out my door every day. Because the husbands are like, okay, you can wait in this four-hour line. Yeah. I'm going to go get a hot dog. You just call me when you're done. Uh-huh. You know? And so she was like, I'm glad for the success, but I didn't want to be this busy.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, really, you know, she's like, I didn't sign up for this. And that's fair, but it was too bad because it was a really good restaurant. And you could take your dog in there.
Uh-huh. And they had cupcakes, not just hot dogs, too. Decent cupcakes.
Yeah. Everything was good there, as I recall. Yeah. But we miss it. But I
get it. That's how it goes sometimes.
Sometimes.
I do like the Pioneer Woman restaurant.
It's delicious.
She has a restaurant, and she also has a pizza place now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, so, like, isn't there, like, a fancy steakhouse, too? Or is that still coming?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of stuff.
It's a little empire up there.
I'm telling you, first of all, whatever you think about the Pioneer Woman, her recipes have never steered me wrong. I've been cooking her recipe since, like, 2007. Never steered me wrong. Yeah. And if you go to the Mercantile and get that plum pudding for dessert.
Oh, that was good.
That is one of the best things.
The lasagna was good. Everything I ate there was good. Yeah. I mean, that woman knows what she's doing.
She definitely knows her way around the kitchen.
That was,
sure.
When we went up to Pawhuska, I had gotten horribly sick right before that, so I couldn't eat anything.
Oh.
It was so sad.
Oh, Carly. I've only eaten in the restaurant once. I was there with the Arts Council, and they had a big reservation, so we didn't have to wait. But then we've been there before and gone upstairs to the little coffee place where you just get a little pastry and coffee. Uh-huh. And if the line's too long, you can just go upstairs and wait in a shorter line and get coffee and pastry. Because it's a wait. It's an attraction and people want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about it, though, is, like, Pawhuska is such a fun town. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do there. It's so beautiful, pretty. Too. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Osage Hills is right mm-hmm. there. And yeah.
Yeah. So good times eating in Oklahoma. there's so much in this issue that I love. I feel like I just want to go through and talk about every single story, and I know we don't have time, but there's, I don't know.
Just buy it.
Roy's and Chickasha. Barbecue. Roy's and Chickasha. That's all I'll say. Yeah. Yeah. He's what, 97?
Four?
94? Three?
He's pretty old.
Yeah. 90-something. Legendary, great barbecue, though. So we just, you know, it's a delicious state, and our goal is to make it number one fattest state.
All right.
We're not. I don't think we're far off.
Well, I feel like I've been pulling,
I'm doing my part.
I feel like I've been pulling my weight yep. on that one.
LOL.
Would you guys like to jump into some events?
Let's
yes.
do it.
All right. Megan, we'll let you go first.
Oh, no.
I'm going to see if we can crack okay. each other up here.
As creative kids will tell you, Legos are more than just something to step on in your bare feet at 3 in the morning. On Thursday, January 21st, and in fact every Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5 in January and February, kids can hop online and meet with Pioneer Library System's Lego Lady, who will teach them how to make new Lego projects. You just need to be a patron of the Pioneer Library System, register online, break out your Legos, and be 8 to 12 years old to begin your quest. Log on to pioneer.libnet.info and click on the events tab to register.
We're big fans of libraries here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you got for us, Carr?
So I've been thinking a lot lately about what makes a leader truly great. You know, intelligence, patience, compassion. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the ability to pull a really heavy sword out of a really big rock.
At that least, is how I picked my
Yeah.
At least that's how England's most legendary king got his job. At the Gaslight Theater presentation of Excalibur, audiences will learn the story of the boy King Arthur and how that whole sword thing was only the beginning. Tickets are only $5, and there are shows on January 23rd, 24th, 30th, and 31st. Call 580-234-2307 or visit gaslighttheater.org/Excalibur for more information if you want to see that.
I love that. The Gaslight Theater is, like, legit awesome, and every time we talk about it, it sounds like it's a theater that's trying to make you believe that you are insane.
Thanks for setting me up for big laughs there, bud. shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake your booty and various other parts of your body at the International Dance Studio's Salsa Dance Lessons. Even if your only experience with salsa is mixing it with a block of cream cheese for a party dip, this class is for you. The studio does offer in-person instruction, but this virtual class is held weekly on Mondays from 6 to 7 p.m. for just $15. Call 405-748-0082 or visit idancestudio.com for more info.
If horses make your heart pound and you've got a betting man's blood in your veins, you'll want to check out the Watch It Grow series at the Osage County Fairgrounds. Riders from all around will be barrel racing to win a jackpot that evidently grows with each event. Upcoming dates are January 21st and 28th and February 4th. For more information, call 918-693-8874.
I don't know about you guys, but barrel racing is legit my favorite rodeo event.
I
love it.
I was very confused by.
You should go to one.
I know.
I'm just happy to hear that I have that someone finally wants my betting man's blood.
That was good writing, Megan.
Very evocative.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tried hard because I was having a lot of trouble figuring out what that event was all about.
So, barrel racing is awesome.
I got it right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is about a Flaming Lips concert, so I tried to shoehorn as many Flaming Lips references into it as I possibly could. So feel free to let us know how many there are in there. Okay, so do you realize that it's been way too long since we've gotten to enjoy live music? Yeah, 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 you might say. But what about social distancing? Okay, I'm not looking for a fight, Tess, but the Flaming Lips know that all we have is now. At their January 22nd and 23rd shows at Oklahoma City's Criterion, they won't use jelly, but they will have giant inflatable bubbles for everyone to wear to ensure no bad days afterwards for audience members, at least not due to COVID-19. Dial 405-840-5500 or check out CriterionOKC.com for more details.
That sounds like the most fun mosh pit ever.
Like, how can they afford to buy a bubble for everyone?
Well, technically, a bubble will fit three people. So not every individual is going to be in a bubble. So like if you went with your, you know, significant other, whatever, you could share a bubble with them, but you're not going to be exposed to anybody that you wouldn't have already been exposed to. And the band will be in bubbles too. It's just gonna be a bubble party everywhere.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like so much fun.
I know, doesn't it?
Like, I kind of hope that bubbles become a permanent feature of live music from now on.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. One of the shows is sold out, or it was whenever I wrote this.
Okay.
But the other one still has tickets available.
Okay, so. Well, good to know. Listen, I know that you're all looking for stuff to do with your kids. You poor parents, trapped at home all day for months and months with these people. I know. I'm so sorry. You didn't sign up to be a teacher. You didn't have kids thinking, oh, I'm going to have to be around them all day. I mean, that they would get to go to school and not, you know, be in your home for at least, you know, 7 to 8 hours a day. That was part of the deal. And I get it. And so if you are looking for ways to entertain your children, you should register for Discovery Days at the Oklahoma Hall of Fame at the Gaylord Pickens Museum. This is an online event. It goes through actually May 27th. So it's kind of an ongoing thing. And, what it is a series of Zoom meetings with various people across Oklahoma talking about their part of the Oklahoma story, history, kind of what their jobs are, all kind of different things like that. And each one of them has like an art project that the kids complete, you know, during the thing or after, whenever. So it's a really, really neat thing. It's a compliment. The craft kit is complimentary. Everything is free. You just Google Gaylord Pickens. The link is a bit.ly, so I'm not going to read it. But, you know, just it's on, and you can find it on their Facebook as well, the Gaylord Pickens Museum at the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. And it's an awesome museum, too. Like,
yes.
When we are able to go back into places, you should go there with your kids because it's awesome.
Many events have gone virtual this year as there's still something of a pandemic happening. Especially
are
events,
we still doing that?
Especially events that require heavy breathing and lots of sweat, which is why Tulsa Air and Space Museum and Planetarium's 5K is now a not-on-the-runway run. Hit the treadmill or your neighborhood or a park or a long stretch of road or a short stretch of road that you can double back on several times anytime between January 21st and 24th and upload your results to TASM's website to participate. Registration is $25 and must happen by January 20th. Visit runsignup.com/TASM Runway Run 5K Virtual to join in the exhausting fun. And that's it, guys.
This is a fun week in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
yeah, there's
lots
a lot
of
cool stuff to do.
On.
Yeah, online and in the real. You want to go watch barrel racing, you guys?
Yes.
It's fun. You know, it's the ladies event in rodeo.
Oh,
is it only ladies?
It's only ladies
okay.
Because ladies rule. He said, sitting across the desk from two awesome ladies.
These are just better with barrels, I guess.
It's a fun event. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love it.
Well, guys, that is absolutely all that we are at liberty to talk about on this episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. If you aren't subscribed to the pod, it's free. If you aren't subscribed to the magazine, it's not free, but it's very reasonably priced.
Worth it.
Visit subscribe.oklahomatoday.com. You can send us emails at oktpod@travelok.com. Rate and review the podcast. Wash your socks. Call a friend. Save the whales. Talk at you next week.
Bye.